Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
So the incoming NBA rookie class has spoken, and LeBron is still king. When asked who their favorite NBA player was, 38% of rookies said LeBron. Kevin Durant came in second at 20%. This is the third year in a row and fourth overall that LeBron has won the popularity award from a rookie class. Durant and Kobe are the only other players to receive top honors in the 10 years that the question has been asked. So, Skip, I start with you. How do you explain this?
It's made it, Skip. Yeah, you're good at explaining. Explain that.
I can't explain
this. Yeah, I can.
I was dumbfounded by this. I remain baffled by this. He won again for a third straight year after the embarrassment that was his first year with the Lakers for the player you call the GOAT, who played more last year for the Lakers like a billy goat eating tin cans. He was 28 and 27 in the games he started for your Los Angeles Lakers last year. And he won again. So let me get this straight.
Yeah, get it straight then.
So three of the first four times this survey was conducted, Kobe won.
Yes.
No surprise.
Right.
I got that. The only time Kobe didn't win was 2012 in that four-year stretch of those surveys. And that was the year, obviously, LeBron finally broke through and said, it's about damn time that I won a ring.
Yeah, right.
And he beat the baby Oklahoma City Thunder for his first ring. And I got that. Okay, I'll give you that. So the next rookie class says, LeBron's our favorite. Okay, got that. So that lasted just 1 year. Then Kobe won again. And then guess who broke through and won three straight years? My man, Kevin Durant, won three straight years, 14, 15, and 16. Because he clearly had assumed the mantle from the king, the GOAT, of best player on the planet was Kevin Durant. So once he broke through and won three in a row, wouldn't you think he would just keep winning?
No.
But no, LeBron broke back through
and
won two straight years leading to his Laker year. And those 2 years, they lost in the finals. In the second of those 2 years, LeBron, in overtime of game one at Oracle of the second finals, had a meltdown on the bench after JR lost his mind, and then LeBron lost his mind. And it was an all-time finals embarrassment for LeBron James. And yet, that rookie class would say he's still our favorite?
Yes.
Interesting.
Bang.
So, here's the only way I can explain this. It really has nothing to do with basketball.
Oh, my goodness. Skip, you need to stop now.
LeBron James is no longer the king of basketball, but he is the absolute unquestioned king of social media. And this is the social media age. And all these kids know nothing but social media. They're blinded by, they live on, they are obsessed with social media. And LeBron dominates it in ways only soccer stars dominated, because in this country, in our sports, in, let's just take basketball, football, baseball, there is nothing close to LeBron James. Because if you combine his IG, Twitter, Instagram, I'm sorry, Facebook, he totals 116.3 million followers. Next in the NBA is Steph with a combined 49 million. Think about it, 116 to 49. Leading the NFL is Odell Beckham Jr. at 19 combined million. So it's almost 100 million more followers for LeBron than Odell. And Odell leads the America's game, which is the National Football League. So the king is the king of social media, even though he's no longer the king of the basketball court. And that's all the kids care about. And it's a little sad to me, and it's a little baffling, but that's it. That's all you got, so try to argue your way out of that, please.
Hey, Jenny, in the famous words of Ricky Ricardo, somebody has some planning to do.
Splaining.
Yeah.
Splaining.
Skip, look, most of these guys
let's just say the rookie class, they're somewhere between, 19 and 21.
Yeah.
As long as they can remember, the baddest man on the planet has been 23 for the
Lakers.
That's
not true, because KD won this three straight years. 14-15, is that before their time?
And we won it three straight. Oh. That's old news. We talking about now. The last 3 years. Oh. Like you tell me, we're not talking about the past.
So how do you explain that, Ricky?
Skip, it's like this. They love the way he plays the game. They love his unselfish nature. He does not treat them like rookies. He treats them, he's like, you come into the NBA, you are part of the brotherhood. You have open lines of communication to one LeBron James. Mm-hmm. If there's anything that I can help you with, because only one player has come in with the hoopla and the fanfare since LeBron James has been in the league, has been Zion. But that's not how he approaches it. Mm. Any rookie. Mm. Want to bounce something off old King James. Mm. Have at it, bro.
He is the king of fraternizing. I will give you that.
See, you skip.
He is. No,
Skip, see, he doesn't place himself above, although he knows he's the king. Mm. Hey, what you need, bro? Mm. Our door's always been open. Why you see all the players, what they doing?
This is why he doesn't belong in the same sentence with Michael Jordan. Not in the same sentence.
Skip, and also, he took a page out of Michael's playbook, but he's taking it a step further. Mm. You know, Michael.
What page? Seriously.
Skip, LeBron James off the court. Michael did Space Jams. Michael didn't own production companies. Michael wasn't A&R on no records. So he's taking it a step further. Yes, Michael with this brand thing and the Air Jordan is going to be, because we had never seen a player retire in basketball. Now, Stan Smith and Adidas, Skip, you know, the tennis player, he retired and they still make Stan Smith. But we hadn't seen that in a basketball player. I don't know if Chuck Taylor. Now, Chuck Taylor, did Chuck Taylor actually play basketball? I don't know how they came up with that name, the old comic.
By the way, does anybody watching this show right now have they ever heard of Stan Smith?
Probably.
I don't think so. But go ahead.
Probably, but I'm just saying, normally when a player retires, whatever apparel they're making is done.
Okay.
But Michael came along and it's like, boom, they kept rolling out shoes. They probably make more off shoes now that Michael retired than they did when he played.
Oh,
and then you see Kobe Bryant. He retired and they're still making the Kobe. And when LeBron leaves the game, they'll still make the LeBrons. So, Skip, I mean, what's not to like? What's not to like? The guy bring you, bro, what you need. Mm. Let me tell you how you do this thing.
You know, I'm glad you asked me what's not to like. Could we show that little low-light tape from last year just to remind everybody just how bad it was last year for LeBron?
Up.
Here's what's not to like. He inbounds the ball off the back of the backboard at Phoenix. Here's what's not to like. LeBron, get out there. Kuzma has to push him out to play defense.
He missed a shot.
LeBron's rolling the ball up the floor. LeBron kicks it out of bounds. Oh, he kicks it out of bounds. That is embarrassing for the King. And here's Mario Hezonja, last shot against the Knicks at the Garden. LeBron used to own the Garden. He gets it locked off the backboard in Phoenix. Yeah, Mario Hezonja is now a Portland Trailblazer. Wow. Get out there and guard the man, would you please? I'm showing you four lowlights, and there were 14 lowlights from last year. But that's who they voted their favorite player. Do you like that, kids?
I love it.
Do you like it?
But Skip, when you look at LeBron from the entertainment side, the political side, and the business side.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And what he, Skip, you know, LeBron, like you said, the old school guys, they were kind of standoffish. You had to earn your way. You had to earn their respect. Even Michael Jordan, Skip, you remember his rookie year, he made the All-Star game, and they wouldn't pass him the ball, and he never forgot. Those guys, the Isaiah that froze him out, he never forgot that. He
took
never
it out
forgave
on
him
the rest of his career.
His rest of his career.
Yep.
But LeBron, guys come in, he's like, you're in the NBA now. We're a brotherhood. Mm. You've earned my respect because you made it here. Mm. The old guys used to make you earn your respect. Now, making it here wasn't good enough. Mm. You had to earn it on the court. Mm. So, Skip, I don't know what there's.
Michael Jordan had a rage to win. LeBron James has a rage to be liked. That's what he has a rage to be. But liked by everybody.
But, Skip, let me tell you.
Would Michael Jordan have put his arm around rookies? No. Stop it.
You know what?
He just dunked on him.
He just wanted to punch Steve Kerr in the eye. And that's your guy?
Thank you. Yes, that's my guy. That's the guy who went 6-0 in the finals with six MVPs. Thank you.
Skip.
Game over.
But the biggest shot wasn't that LeBron won. Mm. It was that Steph Curry didn't get a vote. Mm. Giannis. Skip, that reigning MVP. Skip. Steph Curry, what he did, because before,
There was a time that people thought Steph was the best player in the NBA. Isaiah was a very good player, but at no point in time in Isaiah's career did people think he was the best player in the NBA. Not with Bird, not with Magic, not with Kareem, Dr. J, and those guys. Mm-hmm. Nobody, Olajuwon, same thing with John Stockton, heck of a player, but nobody thought Steph Curry at a point in time, you wouldn't get it universal, but he was the best player. He made it okay. You don't have to be 6'6 to 7 foot tall, athletic, and can dunk on everybody to be big and prominent in the NBA. It's okay for a 6'3 guy that's 180 pounds to stand out here from 45 feet and drain threes.
Okay.
And he couldn't get a vote. Skip, the man, no matter what you think of him, he is a two-time league MVP with one of those unanimous and a three-time a champ. He can't get a vote?
Surprising.
The two-time MVP embraced Kevin Durant, said, please come help save us, right?
Yeah.
And readily allowed Kevin Durant to become the man in
Zion should be disqualified because R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish had already signed up at Duke. And he went and joined them. The one and two recruits in the nation, Zion Williamson, went and joined them.
Who became the man?
That ain't what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
You said...
Did Steph become the man once KD got there? No, he did not.
You said... He embraced it. Zion embraced going to
What have we routinely seen from Steph Curry in the biggest moments? He has come up even smaller than he is. Am I right about that? Did we see Zion come up small in clutch situation? No, he came up much bigger than 6'7".
Missed the free throws.
Oh, stop. He made shot after big shot.
Yeah, you know, Skip, he dunking and laying the ball up. Stop making it seem like he was draining 18-footers.
I saw big jumpers and three-point shots.
No, you saw a big man shooting a jumper. It was a set shot, too. It was not. I thought he was going to flip the ball underhand like Rick Barry. He's out there so long, Skip.
Rick Barry could really play.
Yeah, he really could. Yeah. He really could.
I'll take that. If he becomes Rick Barry, that'll work.
Yeah, he was a little salty, but
it's all right.
So LeBron at 38% this year, 29% last year. So his numbers are just going up.
Now, that was his all-time high.
Numbers are just going up. I figured you'd want to know.
Only Kobe in the 10 years they've been voted, 3 years they didn't vote. Only Kobe's gotten that. And he almost doubled KD up.
He is the social king.
Almost I give it to you. Up.
He is the social king on and off the floor because he embraces everybody.
You're a hater.
Come to LeBron's party.
Yeah, why would he not?
Yeah, he wants them all to take it easy on the old man.
Nobody was ever complimented for making someone feel small. That's a saying I heard somewhere. He embraces them, put his arms around them. Bruh, welcome to the NBA.
Yeah.
Now, this is your obligation.
Yeah.
Go out there and ball. Keep your head down.
Yeah.
Ears closed and ball out.
Let's take it easy on each other.
Now, there you go, Skip. Don't do that, Skip. Why do you do that?
That's shameful.
So let me get it straight. So you're saying that LeBron James, because he's friends with certain guys, he takes it easy on them.
He wants them to take it easy on him.
Why?
Because he's 39 years old?
No, he's not.
What is he?
34. Be 35 December 39.
Seems 39.
Yeah, you aged him there. I don't know if that's necessary.
Guess what? You might as well, because he's going to be in the NBA at 39.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, sure will be. Sure will be.
That's the plan?
With two pull groins.
Bronny? Okay, we've been talking plenty about the Cowboys, but what about their locker room? How should they feel about Zeke right now? James Harrison gives us his thoughts next. No
mercy. Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow the Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Well, Jerry Jones may have unintentionally stirred the pot with Ezekiel Elliott, and it seems to have gotten the running back's attention. After the Cowboys' second preseason game, Jerry jokingly said, "Zeke who?" when discussing the performance of rookie running back Tony Pollard. But Zeke wasn't laughing. Yesterday, Zeke's agent told ESPN, quote, "I didn't think it was funny, and neither did Zeke. We actually thought it was disrespectful." We're joined now by FS1 NFL analyst James Harrison. It is good to have with us.
Yes.
Football around the corner. So, James, here's the question for you. If you were a veteran in the Cowboys locker room, how would you be feeling about this situation right now?
I have been a veteran in the locker room, so to be honest with you, I'm all for players getting money at any time they want to get it. So for me to be upset that you're doing it now with 2 years left, that would be wrong, because the goal of this game is to go out there and make as much money as you can and try and win as many Super Bowls as you can.
Right.
And right now he's in a position where I don't see the Cowboys doing much without him. You may love your quarterback, but without that running back there, mm-hmm. that quarterback has to prove that he's worth what he's trying to get, $40 million. So
that's
I am.
That's speculated. I don't think he's trying to
we want between 32 and 34. That's what we're asking for.
I'm just saying, I don't see them being able to do that without him. And the comment that, you know, Jerry made, they cut it up. You know, he went back through and he laughed it off. And mm-hmm. he also winked at the camera, said, Zeke, you know, it's not at your expense. You know, mm-hmm. you're going to get paid.
Although Zeke and the agent seem to take it a little personally.
I would have took it personally, too, because you're talking about my career right now. You're talking about money. And for him to joke about it, a player, that's not a joking matter to me.
Sure. I don't. Mm.
We're at a point right now where I'm trying to get, this is going to be my first big contract.
And you're last because you play running back.
Exactly. And I'm trying to get everything that I can get. So I could see how Zeke took it disrespectful, because right now we're talking about my career. We're talking about money. That's not a laughing matter. But I also see how Jerry, he was just trying to lighten it up, and it was a bad choice.
All right, so if you're a veteran leader in that locker room, if you're on the order of a Jason Witten, but you've been there for a while, mm-hmm. and you know you're not going to make it to the Super Bowl without number 21, as you get more and more anxious as the days dwindle toward the season opener, what are you thinking about doing? Are you thinking about trying to pull Jerry aside at some point and say, hey, you know and we know, you got to get this done for us?
That's your only option. Yeah. For me, it's to talk to the man that's going to pay him the money.
Okay. Would you do that?
I would try to if it got down to that point. Like, we need him. Without him, we're in a bad situation. It's not something that, you know, we're going to go into week 1-2 and see how it works out, because those 1-2 games can be what cause you to miss a playoff.
Okay. Would you call Zeke at any point just to try to talk him through it?
I don't need to talk him through anything other than, hey, I'm here for you. Get your money. Do what it is that you need to do. Support yourself, your family, because I'm not gonna sit here and talk bad about someone else that's trying to get their money because I already got mine.
Okay.
Or I settled for something that I was willing to accept.
All right, now go this direction, because you do live in Pittsburgh and you do know your Steelers. Last year, early in the year, they turned on Le'Veon Bell
as
he held out, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why was that so different than this situation? Why did they just it got angry, nasty, ugly, right?
You know, I think for them, from what I understood, is that it was an understanding between a few guys that he was going to come in. And I guess it got to the point to where he wasn't talking to them, he wasn't returning calls or something like that, and they felt like it was personal now. But at the end of the day, you can't make it personal. Them guys wanted him to come in because they knew they had a better chance with him.
Exactly.
Okay. I understand that, but at the same time, old school players like Shannon and I, get your money. Hines held out. When Hines held out, we did everything in that training camp to try and make every receiver look bad, because you need to pay Hines to get him in here.
Okay.
Because we want to see guys get money. I want to see you be able to generate wealth for your family and your career, but I'm not gonna make you do something or try and convince you
so
to do something that's not.
They picked
be.
A kid, a rookie named Tony Pollard in the fourth round this year, and he's been pretty good in camp, and he looked pretty good in the game the other night.
Right.
Do you think there's any resentment of how management and coaches are building him up now in the locker room?
You need to build him up.
Okay, but you said you tried to make the other receivers look bad, right?
Yes, but you need to – that's a different situation. That was a lot
The coaches need to build him up.
What I'm saying? What you got is a different situation there. So with that, it's almost the same as the Le'Veon. You had a guy, James Conner, who's turned out to be a great running back.
He did
great last year.
Yeah.
And right now you have a possibility of that same thing. So you want to build him up. You want to give him confidence, because if it comes down to it, the way Zeke is talking, he's not coming back until he get one. If that can't be worked out, you want to build confidence in your running back that is there.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Le'Veon is now in New York. Conner is still there. I hope it don't work out like that, because I feel like if they get rid of Zeke, it's a bad situation. And even, you know, Jerry himself said, I see a 1-2 combination here.
He did. All right, Mr. Sharp.
For me, I'm not talking ill about another man's money.
No question.
For me, I believe everybody in the Cowboys locker room wants Zeke to get his money. And if I'm Zeke Elliott, I'm not concerned with anybody else. It's not my job to worry about a team. My job is to worry about being my best self. Now, I'm not going to be a selfish player when it comes to being where I need to be or think everything revolves around me. But, Skip, I'm going to get my money. I'm going to get what I feel I'm owed. And all these people talking about, well, Zeke has 2 years left. Dez Bryant had 2 years left, and they cut it. And that was no problem. So you don't get to have it both ways. You don't say, well, if someone is not fulfilling the obligation of the contract, I'm going to release you. But if someone outperforms the contract, you're like, nah, you signed the deal. Zeke understands, Skip. He's never going to get a big payday after this contract. That's not how it works for running backs. So he needs to get it. And for a running back, Skip, because it's the easiest position to transition, if there's such a term, easy transition from college to the pros, it's the running back. But basically, from the time he's like 21 to 27, that's his magic years. Everybody, Dak's going to get another contract. If Dak is even at, look at McCown, Skip, they just brought him out the booth. He's been in the league by 18, 19 years. So Dak's going to get more money. True. Amari Cooper will get another big contract if he plays well.
Probably, yeah.
Zeke knows, Skip, he's not going to get it because they're about to put 320 plus, 330, 340 plus carries.
Yes.
So the opportunity for him to get a big payday down the road is either now or never. And for me, I'm always taking the player's side because the guy upstairs, he got more money than all the players in the locker room. And I'm never going to tell a player, bro, you need to come on in here and take this look. No. You hold out because guess what? I'm looking because, oh, I saw what he got. Guess what? I'm coming. I'm trying to get me some of that honey, too.
Yeah. So what if you're the team leader of the Dallas Cowboys and we get to Labor Day and nothing's happened and Jerry Jones pulls you aside outside the locker room and says, hey, Shannon, I offered him Todd Gurley money. I offered him a dollar more than Todd Gurley, and he wants way more than Todd Gurley, and I just can't stomach that because I don't think that's right for the long-term good of this football team. How would you respond to
Still
that?
Still not calling Zeke and telling him because he feels like he's worth more than that, and I'm not going to tell another man that you're not. If that's what he wants and that's what he's not going to settle for anything less, that's just what it
you
is.
You know what I'm going to tell Jerry? Jerry, I don't know what to tell you. He want a dollar more? Well, you better give him $50 more. Whatever it takes, Jerry, I'm going to be honest with you, Jerry. I got the pulse of this team. You know I'm down here in this locker room every day, and let me tell you what the guys are saying. We can't win it without Zeke.
All right.
I'm sure they are saying that. I think they're saying we might win a couple of games with Tony Pollard.
Right.
Maybe a couple.
Yeah, but you know, Jerry said it at the combine. Jerry said, I ain't got very many more years. Now, hopefully he wasn't talking about his life, Skip, but I think the thing is that you could see him trying to transition to the back and letting Steven take this thing over. He knows, Skip, the next couple of years, he has a prime team that can get him to his ultimate destination.
All right.
What if Jerry Jones responded to you, Shannon? You have to appreciate my position because I cannot pay Zeke for what he has done for us, which is extraordinary. I have to project what will he do for us for the next 4 years because he wants 4 years. Obviously, you could cut him, as you say.
Right.
But he's going to want a bunch of guaranteed money. And again, that could cripple the football team for the next 4 years if you overpay him for what he will be able to give you in four.
Okay. Todd Gurley got 3 years and a $45 million extension.
They way overpaid
Let's just say for the sake of argument.
And they're already wondering about his knee now.
Let's just say you give Zeke 3 years for $20 million, or $60 million and you win the Super Bowl. Is it worth it?
Yes.
Okay, then. So what are we talking about?
Okay. But you got to guarantee me that you're going to win the Super Bowl.
You want one man to guarantee you that you're going to win a Super Bowl.
But your quarterback.
There's 53 people on the team.
Yeah, you said it's the most. You said that's it's the toughest
game. Are you serious?
But see, that's the thing. Jerry said, you don't remember, at the same combine, Skip, you have no idea the unbelievable size, the check I would write if somebody would guarantee me a Super Bowl.
I can tell you have no idea the checks that man would write if there were no salary cap in the National Football. He'd be George Steinbrenner the second, right?
Yes.
He would.
I'd be a Cowboy.
But that's the thing, though, Skip. You know, there are no guarantees. So Zeke said, I tell you what, Jerry, I'm going to come back and play for you the money that you're offering. But if we win the Super Bowl, I need you to give me an extra $30 million.
Okay. See, here's the problem with this. The last time Jerry Jones watched Ezekiel Elliott play a football game, it was right out here in L.A. at the Coliseum, and he went nowhere fast.
Yeah.
And I know that, at that point, you could argue that Wade Phillips' defense was the best defense left in the playoffs. But if he's that guy, if he's Eric Dickerson, Jim Brown, Emmitt Smith,
right.
You just figure out how to get more. On 19 of his carries, he went for 1.7 yards per carry.
A lot of times, you know? Skip, for
maybe
me.
Maybe it's the blocking scheme. Maybe the coach needs to do something.
Okay. I was going to say, you can't put it all. Right.
But for me, and James, you know this. You were there in Baltimore. You were in Pittsburgh when Jamal Lewis came into the game, and he needed like 100 yards to break ED's record. They said, I don't care how many yards your quarterback throw for. Jamal Lewis is not getting this record on our watch.
Okay.
I watched that game. They made it their business. You're not breaking that record on us, bro. You're not finna have us in the record books looking every time they see somebody break the record, and here come the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm. Skip, teams will go out of their way and it says, you know what? Ezekiel Elliott, we believe you can run the football and you can beat us. Mm-hmm. We don't believe your quarterback can throw the ball and beat us. So we're going to take Zeke away. And Dak, if you can throw for 350 and three tubs, congratulations. He can't do it.
Do you know how many games I covered that a defensive coordinator would say, 22 is not going to beat us, Emmitt Smith.
Yeah.
He will not beat us today.
I'll tell you right
we
now.
Will take Emmitt Smith out of this game, and nobody ever took him out of any game.
But you had Troy
Aikman. Defenses did that. That's what we did. We take your best player, and we're going to take him out of that game. I don't care what your other player. If your running back is your best player, your quarterback is going to have to beat us. He's going to have to go out there and prove that he can get it done. Right. Until that, we're not changing anything.
Remember, Troy never threw for big yards.
No, but he had that ability, and he had – Skip, he had a Hall of Fame receiver. So, okay, you really want to leave your DB 101 with Mike? And then, you know, at that time, you had Alvin Harper, who was doing nothing but going deep, Skip. He was perfect for them. But he wanted to be a number one. He took the money with the Tampa, and he was terrible. He ended up coming back, but he wasn't the same.
He was just a guy.
Yes. But playing alongside Michael, and you had underneath with Jay.
Yeah.
But you had that. You had Skip. What you gonna do?
It all revolved around 22.
Yes.
His ability to just slash and gash.
But Skip, those big hogs, though, man. Look at
those. I got it.
All right. Enough Cowboys for now, James. You're going
to
stick around.
No, never enough Cowboys.
For now. I'm sure we'll have more later. We need to talk about Antonio Brown. Is there more to his issues than this helmet? And we're excited to get James' take on this next. Yeah. No mercy. Antonio Brown was back with the Raiders yesterday. AB missed practice on Sunday after his latest helmet failed safety testing by the league. The All-Pro receiver isn't over it, though. Last night, he filed a second grievance against the NFL in hopes that he can wear his old helmet for one more season. Brown is arguing that the league is arbitrarily applying its rules when it comes to his helmet. James, I cannot wait to get your take. Mm-hmm. What is going on with Antonio Brown?
Right now, I think it's time for him to give it up. you know, I love AB, but right now, everything is looking real selfish, real me. And you're, Coach Tomlin used to say, you're throwing rocks at a tank right now. At the end of the day, if the NFL, Roger Goodell, decides that a sock fine is $100,000, that's what it goes to. That's the collective bargaining agreement that they signed. He has the power to change anything that he wants to at that point in time. You go back to when they started changing the rules for helmet to helmet. The first fine was $15,000, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, it was 75 for me, 50 for another guy, because we, not us, the Steelers voted no, gave him that power in the collective bargaining agreement to be able to do whatever it is that he wants.
By the way, you're the only team that voted no.
You'd be surprised. Some teams said they didn't even vote.
Really?
Yeah. But that's something else.
Okay.
So right now, I think he needs to sit back and really think about what he's doing. You're hurting the team about something the NFL is doing. Mm-hmm. That would be like when I was getting fined, I would say, you know what, I'm not coming to practice. I'm not doing any of this because the NFL is fining me. I'm not going to hurt my teams and teammates, the guys that are there for me, you know, and he just, like you said, he just got a huge contract.
Right.
Right now is the time to go out there and shine. You have nothing to worry about. You got guaranteed money. If you were to get hurt or anything else, all your money is still coming.
Yep.
And that's when you go out there and ball. So right now, I believe it's time to give it up and just let it go. I
Is
had
it
to change
fair
my
to
helmet.
Say, yeah, you. Everybody had to change something. Fair to say you're a close friend of his? Is that?
I wouldn't say that close, but me and him, we talk.
But
we've talked a lot less. We've talked a lot less since he's went, you know, to Oakland.
All right.
I probably haven't, you know, had a conversation with him since then.
Okay.
You know, to be totally honest.
We've been around him some on shows, me a little more than you, mm-hmm. but I always like him when I'm around him. Big personality,
yes.
Great smile.
Yes.
Good energy. But the actions don't match the personality that we feel when he's on set, because the actions are indefensible often. And Shannon's been very hard on him. And as a friend of his, or somebody who knows him pretty well, how would you describe what makes him tick? What's he all about?
Right now, I feel like he wants to win. He wants to be, you know, he wants to
Does
be on
he?
Top.
Yeah.
I think from him having the situation happen in Pittsburgh mm-hmm. and him getting exactly what he wanted, right now he's in a situation where he feels like he should get exactly what he wanted because someone else got a leeway of the year with the helmet. But at the end of the day, what he needs to realize is all that can be changed on the drop of a hat. And you're talking about a helmet, man. Come on.
But here's the thing, James. It's not only the NFL, the NFLPA. This is a half and half thing that says we're going to do away with these old helmets. We got 30 new models mm-hmm. that the players, like the 1,500 players that's going to go opening day rosters, where there's 46, 32. So you're looking at about 15, let's just say 1,500 players. Now, 1,499 says, okay, I'm good. Now, AB was one of the guys last year. Tom Brady said, I've been to like 5 Super Bowls in the last 6 years. I don't really like the helmet. But the NFL has spoken. Aaron Rodgers. Everybody says, you know what? I don't like it, but I'm going
to
do it.
And the bigger thing is, like you said, it comes down to a safety issue. And the NFL
yes.
is dead set on safety. If he goes out there and something happens, he gets knocked out. He already had a concussion before.
Yeah.
But he goes out there, he gets knocked out, and he can't come back the same. Listen, if I'm him, and you let me wear this inferior helmet that you told me was inferior, but I fought you enough and you went ahead. Well, I'm a backdoor and I'm suing you.
Exactly. And that's what the NFL is not going to allow. Because once the NFL and the NFLPA agree that we're gonna move away from these outdated helmets,
yep.
and every helmet must be certified to meet the standards, those
and
are the
standard rises as they get newer.
Yes!
Helmets, the standard of that rises. It's not that helmet is horrible. It won't. It just is not. It's high enough standard for what we have now.
Mm. Just me. I don't think this is about a helmet. I think it's about Hard Knocks, because episode 3 airs tonight at 10 Eastern. And the star of the first 2 episodes has been one Antonio Brown. And he's continuing the spotlight on him by filing a second grievance. I think he knows. Drew Rosenhaus knows they got no shot at winning this, but it keeps him in the news cycle. He is addicted to the attention, and he will be the star of episode 3 tonight. And I believe he will share that stage with a John Gruden who will probably throw some quote-unquote off-camera fit about where the hell is Antonio Brown.
I don't see that happening because then Antonio sees that. And I don't see as much as you're a Gruden fan, I don't see him wanting to upset someone I just gave.
No, I don't know if John can help himself.
I'm
with you.
But that's the thing. But what's so disappointing, James, is that we've given you this. You got out. You said you didn't like the way the quarterback talked to you like you were less than a man. Mm-hmm. And you didn't like the head coach and upper management that allowed this to continue. Mm-hmm. So you got everything you wanted. You got more guaranteed money. You went to a quarterback that's never going to talk to you sideways because he's less accomplished than you. See, Ben felt he could talk to you sideways because of those Super Bowls.
Okay.
See, Super Bowl give you, whether you're a coach, player, doesn't matter. If it makes you feel like you're bigger than what you actually are. So you got away from that. You got $30 million guaranteed for 2 years. And you're talking about you not practicing because of a helmet.
Hmm.
Listen, everything, like my mama used to say, that's done in the dark will come into the light.
Yep.
Right now, I believe you're starting to see what may have been happening in the dark in Pittsburgh come into the light.
Yes!
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, the last year I wasn't there to exactly see it, but of course, he was given a lot of privileges in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
That, you know, he was allowed to do because some people allowed him to do that.
Yes.
Right now, you're in a different situation. Like they say, the grass is not always greener on the other side.
It is. But when they watered and fertilized their grass over there, see, you letting the sun bake on yours, you ain't putting no water, no fertilizer. That's why your grass wasn't green.
Just remember, John Gruden sent Mike Mayock, his GM, but John's got the last call on all this.
Everything.
He sent Mike Mayock to tell the media, ultimatum time. Are you all in or all out? So when you say you don't want to push...
But it's not John Gruden doing it.
Okay, but again, trust me, he signed off on that.
I know some guys over there in Oakland. I think it's not John Gruden doing it, so it's really not John Gruden.
I think eventually, you know what? I think in order to get this point across, he's going to have a conversation with A.B. A.B., but see, the part that I hate most, James, is that you know what owners and general managers are saying? This is why we can't give guaranteed money. You see how he acted? Mm-hmm. He done got the money.
Well, you know, they also have something still in their back pocket that's called conduct detrimental.
Yes.
And that's a thing that you go down that trail, and it's mixed up. And
I'm not trying to get nobody. I'm not really trying. You know, I wasn't being late.
You could lose a lot of money.
I'm not trying to get no money back.
Depending on how bad it is, it can almost void it.
That's in the fine print there?
Oh, yes.
And that's an Amy.
You know what you said about how Super Bowls empower people to maybe think they're way more than they actually are?
Yeah.
I could throw John Gruden in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
he did win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
And when they have their heart-to-heart, if it gets a little angry one way or the other, John is capable of saying, hey, do you realize I won a Super Bowl and you haven't?
Yes.
That's what it'll come down to.
Yes.
Because John thinks he was the driving force of Tampa's.
How the hell you think he got that contract?
Yep.
10 years. Ten.
Oh. 10.
Yeah.
That's
at 10.
When
he hadn't coasted 10 years.
10 for 10 ain't coasted 10.
Sounds good. Yeah.
And he got total control of that franchise.
Yes.
So don't tell me Mike Mayock was on his own when he said, are you all in or all out?
I didn't say he was on his own, but I said he's the one that said it. So it may look like to everyone else he's on his own. He's the GM. Now, I can play good cop, bad cop over here now.
Yeah, I know. And John's got some good cop in him, but trust me, way more bad cop in him.
But it's going to come down, Skip. It's going to have to be bad cop. Ain't no more good cop.
No. Nope.
Because good cop ain't getting me no info. So I'm just going to be bad cop, slam his head down on the table. Get your butt out there.
That's true.
It's Hard Knocks.
I'd like to see that on Hard Knocks.
Jeez.
That is ridiculous. Dude, you got $30 million, and you talking about a helmet.
Everyone has to go through that. If you're blessed to play in the game long enough, you're going to have to change your helmet. I believe it was like 09-10 that I ended up having to change mine. I didn't like it, but I wasn't about to sit here and
But if you
fight.
Know, James, if they tell you in a year in advance, James, the helmet that you're wearing is no longer going to be allowed to be worn.
Honestly, I didn't get a year in advance, but it's a helmet. It's literally a helmet. Okay. You can find a different face mask or
But they gave
something.
Him a year. But just imagine, what you wouldn't have done, you wouldn't have waited till training camp to try helmets. You'd have got one of the 30 models that they're allowing and see which one's going to fit you the best.
Yep.
He knew this was coming.
I know.
They told you.
Look, what I appreciated about you two when you played, you both had big personalities, big natures that would just fly out at any moment. But you were both we guys.
Yeah.
And 84 is a me guy. That's how it boils down.
Yeah, you got to win. At the end of the day, all them numbers are nice. Ooh, the numbers are nice.
Yeah.
Well, you ain't winning. I mean, what them numbers for? What you putting up all the numbers to do what? Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Cowboys locker room last segment. How much are these players affected by this way, the way AB is
acting? I would definitely be disappointed.
I mean, at some point, it's going to get old.
Yeah, I would, like you said, I would be disappointed at that because now we're not talking about money. And we're not even talking about something the team is doing to you. We're talking about a regulation that is put in place to help the game be safer, help you be safer.
Yep.
And you're not coming in and working with us so we can get things together. I would definitely
Okay, but
be
this team doesn't have
excited.
Veteran leaders on it Fair. Except for the head coach, right?
Yeah.
They're young.
Yeah, I mean, Vontaze is in your locker room.
Yeah, I know. Ooh.
It's great for reality TV, though.
Man, you already know Taz will get one suspension this year. You are
good. Listen. Taz back. He in a good place.
Yeah, he is.
He ain't gonna get no
$5 so he get a suspension this year.
$5 he won't.
Okay,
bet good.
This episode. James, Too excited to have him here. James,
I like
thank you for joining us. Shannon, John, you're gonna have to.
That's why we can give you anything. Look at
Bill Belichick. He just
that
made
just covered up what you did to your pants
move.
Already.
Why? We'll tell you next. We'll let Shannon get cleaned up. No mercy. Bill Belichick always keeps you on your toes. Belichick and the Patriots are cutting left-footed punter Ryan Allen, who has been with the team since 2013. Allen won 3 Super Bowls in his time with New England and played a vital role in their Super Bowl 53 win over the Rams. The move reportedly frees up $1.4 million in cap space, so Belichick will be relying on rookie Jake Bailey to take over punting duties for the team. The Patriots traded up 4 spots in the 5th round to select Bailey. So, Shannon, what does this tell you about Belichick?
Skip, Coach Belichick is always checking the sofa cushions for loose change. Now, he's going to try to find a way to get maximum value. Now, Gostkowski struggled last year kicking the ball off, but he's a very accurate field goal kicker. This guy also punts, and he kicks off.
He can.
So maybe that's what. But for me, I believe the bigger issue is this is how Coach Belichick always keeps his thumb on the team. Now, going into the 4th quarter, Skip, the MVP of the game was that guy.
I agree.
Because he kept him pinned down. See, it's one thing if you up 21 points in the 4th quarter and you get a kick inside the 10-yard line.
Yep.
But, Skip, in pressurized moments, he was doing that.
He had 3 inside the 20.
Right.
Inside the 10, actually, yeah.
And he continuously did that in big moments, not just Super Bowl, but big playoff games. And he was left-footed. Coach Belichick's like that because the ball spins differently off the left than the right.
Yep.
So this is enough. See, Skip, this is what he said. So now everybody's sitting like, well, damn, guy won 3 Super Bowls, was money at the punt game, and Coach Belichick let him go. I better get him right. I better get right. Get right. That's how he does it.
Well, that works if Jake Elliott, is that his name, the new punter? Jake Bailey. Jake Bailey. Jake Bailey, if he proves to be nearly as good as Ryan Allen was, right?
Yes.
We'll see.
So I see this completely differently than you do because we've been talking about a diva receiver most of this show named Antonio Brown, and I think now we're talking about a diva coach. He's a diva in subtle ways. Again, you're a big fan. I'm kind of a fan of Belichick, but I'm a huge fan of his quarterback, and I still give 75% of the credit to the quarterback over the coach. So here's the coach saying, look at me. This is the way I do it because I found another diamond in the rough. I traded up to the 5th round to take Jake Bailey from Stanford, who was not highly rated even as a punter.
Right.
Again, he's got a big leg, but not the greatest leg.
Right.
And the other kid, Ryan Allen, who's a directional punter, was never a huge leg. But can you trust him in clutch moments?
Right.
Yes, you can. And you know and I know that the main thing you have to trust is that in the 4th quarter of the AFC Championship game in Kansas City, he will catch the football before he punts it, right?
Yes.
Because some guys just choke and they just drop the football.
Right.
So to me, when this move came down yesterday, the quarterback in Foxborough, number 12, I'm just guessing that he sat back and said, he better be right about this one because can I trust this Stanford kid if we get sent back to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game? Can I catch him to trust him to catch it and then punt it and to hit it inside the 10 the way Ryan Allen could be trusted?
And the thing that Allen did, Skip, is that you knew because sometimes field goal kicks come down to 10 yards. There's a big difference starting at the 10 than the 20 because the team has to go 10 fewer yards. This is just Coach Belichick has always believed, and Skip, this is why I believe that Coach Belichick has and still is going to try and get rid of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's saying, it's me. Y'all get all caught up and talk about Tom Brady, yada, yada, yada.
That's what he said yesterday. It's me.
It's me. He's like, look at all these, with the exception of Stephon Gilmore and McCourt. Skip, ain't nobody on that defense really highly touted.
Nope.
He just got, Kyle, he'll take guys off of somebody else's rosters. It got him in trouble in the Super Bowl because he tried to tell Eric Rowe, well, we traded from him.
Watch what I do.
Y'all let him go. Watch what I do.
Yeah, watch what I do with him. Malcolm Butler, you go sit down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Coach Belichick is one of these guys, Skip, that he has the utmost confidence in his system, and rightfully so, because it's been proven. But he believes, deep down, Skip, he can really go get a guy off the street, coach him up for 6 weeks, and have him go play a football game. That's what he believes. So you can do a move, but Skip, when you get 6 Super Bowls, you kind of get people going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Okay, but it sounds like the Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe is skeptical of this
maneuver.
Absolutely. Thank you.
No, I am. Skip, because, but like I said, you know, the old adage, the more you can do, the longer you can stay. Well, Ryan Allen is not a kickoff specialist. Great directional guy, but what if we can get a guy that's a great directional guy and a kickoff specialist? Now, Skip, I got 2-for-1.
Is he a great directional
guy? I don't know, Skip. I don't know, Skip. I don't know. I don't know about all that.
Can he handle the pressure of an AFC championship game or, dare I say, another Super Bowl? I don't know about that because, as we speak, the favorite to win the next Super Bowl is still that guy's team.
Yeah.
Right?
Coach Belichick there. Yep. You got Skip, well, you know, see, this is how they get you. Now, you can get the burger and fries, or you get the combo, get that thing supersized for an extra 35 cents. So, Coach Belichick said, well, hold on.
Wait.
For an extra $1.8 million, I can get the combo.
That's all you need.
Okay. Mm. I'm sorry, Ryder. You know,
and I always ask this. I don't know where New England's cap money goes.
Yeah.
It goes because Brady so takes true. A hometown discount.
The hometown. So that ain't hometown.
Home that's, state
yeah,
discount.
Yeah, that's a home room discount. Okay. That's a family discount. That's a family and friends. You know, everybody can't get family and friends.
Well,
who gets the money? I don't know who gets
paid.
Yeah,
Brady, hold on. Y'all only gave me $8 million. I can get another 1.8 of that money that you say got from him. Y'all need to go ahead and put that in my bank account.
The only one who got paid was Stephon because he was a free agent.
And you had to bid.
Huh.
But other than that, Skip Bayless, but that's the way Coach Belichick is. You want to stay, you stay at my price. You're never going to stay in New England at your price. You could stay at their price, or you're going to have to move it along. Mm. It's as simple as that. And when you, Skip, the guy's won 3 Super Bowls. He's been tremendous at the job that Coach Belichick needs. Mm-hmm. I need you to put him down inside the 20. Mm-hmm. I need you to put him inside the 10. And he's done that time and time again in the most pressurized of situations because they're in the playoffs every year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been there since 2013.
Yep.
So he's been exemplary. And guys in that locker room, Skip, like, well, man, I better be on my best behavior because Coach Belichick. They already know Coach Belichick ruthless.
I got that part of it. But most fans will probably say, come on, it's just a punter. And they don't even know Ryan Allen because he was so good at his job that you did not notice him.
That's how special like teams are supposed to be.
It's like a good referee or an umpire. If you don't notice him, he really did a good job.
Yes.
This punter was so good, nobody even recognized him. You know, they didn't even know who he was.
Right.
And all of a sudden, after all those Super Bowls that he helped win, 3 of them, and he could have been the MVP last year if it had turned out right.
Right.
Although, what punter is ever going to really win MVP?
Right.
Can you imagine?
Okay. But the point is, he was a candidate.
Right.
And this was another ruthless plunge by a head coach who's fully capable of doing this to send message to locker room, number one. But number two, to say, I need to polish my genius a little bit here. I'm going to show the world I can pull this off.
Yeah.
You better.
He cut Lawyer Malloy.
Yep.
4 days before the opening game.
Yep.
That tells you everything you need to know. He's like, a Pro Bowl safety, I'm willing to release you 4 days before we kick the ball off.
Yep.
So
a number of those.
Yeah. So Coach Belichick believes it's him. Guys have bought in, believe it's system. It's system over me.
Yep.
They play into that, and they win. It's hard to argue, Skip. Now, it is going to be very interesting when Tom Brady leaves. Eventually, he's going to leave. If he plays 10 more years, he's going to leave. And if Coach Belichick still remains, it's going to be interesting to see because you believe everything that Coach Belichick is accomplishing, 75% of it goes to the quarterback.
That is correct. I also believe that right here, right now, if Bill Belichick had his way, he would start Jared Stidham in game one. I believe he's ready to move forward.
I don't know if he'll start Jared Stidham in game one, but I know he'd move on for Tom Brady after this year.
Jeez.
Well, after the way Jimmy Garoppolo performed last night, you might second guess that.
That didn't help him out. Well, not a good performance there. How about this guy, though? Baker Mayfield, never afraid to tell you how he feels. Did he take a shot at another young quarterback?
Wow.
We'll discuss next. No mercy. Giants first-round pick Daniel Jones has had an impressive first 2 weeks of the preseason. The rookie is 16 of 19 for 228 yards and 2 touchdowns and has yet to throw a pick. Jones isn't impressing everyone, though. In an interview with GQ magazine, Baker Mayfield said, quote, "I cannot believe the Giants took Daniel Jones. Blows my mind." New York selected Jones 6th overall. So, Shannon, are you surprised Baker said this?
A part of me is surprised, Skip, because we don't normally see quarterbacks talk publicly about other quarterbacks.
We do not.
Now, maybe behind closed doors, they might say something here or there that they don't expect to get out, but not so public. But because it's Baker Mayfield, should we be surprised? But even that being Baker, Skip, for him to take a shot at another quarterback.
A rookie quarterback.
Rookie quarterback. Yeah. It's just, I guess, you know, the old adage, either you like me or you hate me. You love me or you hate me. And that's where you are on Baker Mayfield, Skip, because this is very uncharacteristic of that guy. You see, basically, it's the CEO of your company taking shots at another CEO, a potential CEO of another company. Mm-hmm. And that's what Baker's doing. Skip, I'm surprised, and I get it. You know, Baker said, you know, this guy was 17 and 19 at Duke, and, you know, you overthink these things. What has he ever won? I'm kind of shocked because it's so harsh. It's so direct. That's some of the things you and I would say about this. We're not playing, Skip, but we're not taking shots at other guys that do what we do.
Nope.
He took a shot at the guy that, you know, he's a rookie, but he's like, I can't believe, basically said, he's like, Daniel Jones is trash. He garbage. I can't believe the Giants took him. In a nutshell, that's what he said.
As you know, I love Baker Mayfield, but I do not love this. It is just so Baker. It is just so what he's all about. He's just unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to tell you exactly what he feels, and that's why that team gravitates to him and feeds off him, because they know he's 1,000% real.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps it 1,000, not 100, 1,000. And yet, to your point, I don't take shots at people who do what we do. I take a lot of shots on this show, but I don't ever take them about
people that do what we do. Right.
Just don't.
You don't.
Just, we're better than that.
Right.
Interesting.
Baker's better than that. This should be way beneath him.
Right.
To take a shot at a poor rookie who's just struggling to survive in the Big Apple with all that pressure on him. And now you've piled on and heaped more pressure on him. Do I agree with what Baker said? 1,000% I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Am I shocked he said it? No, I'm not shocked he said it. And by the way, the young man who conducted this interview is Clay Skipper, his son of John Skipper, friend of mine. Clay is who went to Vanderbilt University. So good for him.
Well, you got him in.
Yeah, I got him in. Yeah, I don't think he needed any help getting in. But the point is, this was it's lots of bombshells, but that's what Baker. He just drops bombshells.
I'm trying to figure out what it is with GQ. Are they giving these guys truth serum? Because remember, Odell just did an interview a couple of weeks ago, Skip, that came out in GQ, and he spilled his insides.
He did.
And now Baker comes along, and like I said, I'm surprised because the one thing that we don't normally see, and this is really the only position that doesn't do it. We've seen other guys. I remember Sapp would take shots at other defensive linemen and say they're not very good and yada, yada, yada. But we don't normally see current quarterbacks take shots at other current quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. That's something that's new. That's something foreign to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Baker got the memo. I don't know if Baker understands that. Like quarterbacks, like we normally stay above the fray.
I will say this. I've watched Daniel Jones twice, and he has performed so far much better than I thought he would at this stage. And yet, I watched him, I don't know, 2-3 times at Duke last year, and it went in one eye and out the other because I thought he'd be a 5th or 8th round pick, you know, and there's only 7 rounds because I thought he'd be an undrafted free agent.
Right.
And I fell out of my chair when they took him that high.
And because, Skip, the quarterback position is so valuable, even though sometimes the talent, you're undermanned at talent, the quarterback can raise the level around you. I'm looking at him, and I'm like, but you can see, Skip, what execs are thinking. Like, man, you put him with some talent?
Mm-hmm, maybe.
Man, he might be special because he's under-talented as far as position players around
that's
him.
That's true. So he went 17 and 19, which actually is not that bad at Duke. And he did play for David Cutcliffe, who is sort of the quarterback maker and guru. So I give you all that. I just don't think he'll ever live up to that high of a pick in the draft.
Right.
And Baker is with me on that. But I don't know why you would rain on that parade that early.
But like I said, Skip, by Baker saying that, what does he get out of this? Okay, everybody knows that you're a rebel. Everybody knows that you're going to say.
He is a rebel.
But what do you get from this?
You just told me Belichick sent a message to his team. Yeah. They're all on the edge of their seats because he just cut our punter who could have been the MVP of the Super Bowl. Well, this is Baker saying to his team, I don't care who it is. I'll tell the truth about anybody.
But the thing is, Skip, is that guys are already going to try and knock your block off. Now you're going to get guys, you know, you get guys that want to shut you up.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really want guys to take unnecessary licks. I just, like I said, look, you can be you. But, Skip, you know what I'm saying? But what did he get out of this, Skip?
Yep. So he also said later in this piece that, remember the notorious flag plant?
Yeah.
I liked this part.
At midfield. Were you at that game?
I can't
remember. You weren't at that game.
I wasn't at that one.
But they upset Ohio State. At Ohio State. Right. And Urban Meyer called it the best game any rival court, you know,
had ever played against
me. And then he took the flag because Ohio State had done it to OU at OU the year before. And it was a devastation wipeout game. And obviously, I'm a longtime OU fan. And then he planted the flag at midfield. And then he said it was just jaw-dropping that the higher-ups at OU forced him to apologize for this. Well, one reason they forced him to apologize is because he was a Heisman candidate.
Right.
And Heisman voters don't love flag plants at midfield.
Exactly.
So they were trying to save him from himself. To apologize for it, even though he said on a scale of 1 to 10, he had zero contrition about this.
And the thing is, Skip, they realized, you're not going to be here forever. We're going to have to play some of these teams, and
that
we don't want
true.
People planting flags on in the middle of the OU for the rest of us, for perpetuity.
Okay, so he played a great game, and he planted the flag, and it probably helped him get the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
I think that's what John Dorsey would say, I want that guy on my team.
Hmm. But even though, Skip, even though you don't have a contrition, don't throw OU higher-ups under the bus.
Yeah.
Just let that lie.
I know. I mean, it doesn't do you any good to tell this story.
Yes.
He's unapologetic. And the last quote
like
I loved, he said, you know, I may have hurt some Ohio fans then, but I think we're good now. Would we agree that we're good?
I mean, you agree with this? I mean, you love Baker. Are you okay with this, Jenny?
Look, I don't go around talking about other people doing my job in a poor way.
Why not?
But
you like that, though, right? You like that about
me? I just like that he is who he is, and he just owns it. He owns it. He's never going to change, and that's just what we're going to get. And so, yeah, Shannon, I'm okay with it. I need to be like that?
Are you okay with that? Even Skip said this is a bridge too far from him.
Okay, I'm going to stay with Baker on this. He owns it. He's honest. We can all learn a little from that every so often. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Fox Sports,
one of one. Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.